The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media. Give us feedback on this podcast or ask tech questions by calling the voicemail hotline at 877-414-5856. That's 877-414-5856 to get your questions answered.
So, instead of 3 hours of silence on your Thursday evening, what we've got is a handful of guests, and most of which have, or most of whom, I should say, have been promoted on the Chris Perillo Show website, including the first guest coming up here in another 20 minutes. Interesting story. But I think the most interesting part of the story is this first guest, he was on CNN today. And then we had him booked beforehand. So before CNN had him on the air, we knew that we were going to bring him into the show. Jake heard the story, and then Ponzi heard the story. He said, "Wow, this guy's got an interesting story." He's going, and I don't know. I'll need a little clarification on this when we actually get him on the air. He's trading all the way up from a paperclip, one red paperclip, all the way up to a house. Now, I kid you not. I don't know if it's a gimmick. I don't know what the deal is. But he essentially started with this paperclip and is trading his way up and eventually wants to get a house. So you can imagine people are kind of curious to hear about the story. And we'll be getting him in for a little while. You know, I know he's kind of busy with his whole trading thing. We'll find out what he's currently got. And apparently it's something substantial. Much more than a paperclip. Or much more than I'd imagine a paperclip could fetch, even on eBay. Some people would buy red paperclips for an insane amount of money because it was on eBay and think they had a fantastic deal. That's the thing. Then we've also got a couple of my friends stopping by the studio. We've got Alex Williams, who writes for Courant. That's how you pronounce it, Courant. And he's up here in Seattle making preparations for the second podcast hotel. The first one took place in Portland, and the second one will take place here in Seattle. He's partnering with Melodio, and I was at the Melodio, I don't want to say studio, building, office in downtown Seattle a few weeks ago, talking about podcasting and the future of it and openness versus closedness, closedosity. We'll make up some kind of word. Add it to Wikipedia, it'll suddenly become a word. Maybe that's what I should do. Just start adding random words to Wikipedia, making up definitions as if they had existed forever. Be kind of fun. I'd gone down to Melodio's office, and that's where I met them, and that's where Alex is tonight. He's going to be stopping by. I don't know if he's stopping by with someone from Melodio or just himself, but I thought it'd be interesting to catch up with him. The first interview, of course, we did with Alex months ago, long before the first podcast hotel was happening, and that was just very successful, according to reports. And so I'm very much looking forward to not just the podcast hotel, but actually sitting down here with Alex Williams. And if he should bring someone along, great. And then a couple of other friends who are local, who are doing something that is just truly worldly. Lee and Sachi. And I don't know if they want me to use their last name, but basically if you go to theworldisnotflat.com, the world is not flat. What they're doing is they're embarking on a year's journey across the world. And they're blogging the whole thing. They're asking for recommendations from people. They're basically eliciting responses. They say they're going X. You tell them, hey, make sure you do A, B, and C while you're there. It's really kind of neat. So we'll have them break it down. And Lee, by the way, is a consultant, a tech consultant, like a lot of my friends seem to be, at commoncraft.org. And I believe Jake has placed all the fine links on the Chris Perillo Show website, or of course, you know, undoubtedly the fine people in the Locker Gnome chat room who are putting together the show notes on our wiki will put the links in there too, if anybody uses those show notes. It's actually pretty cool. We're coming upon a year, and we've just found out Jake and I are going to be at CES, and we're going to be broadcasting live again from CES. This time, we're going to be in Microsoft's area. Now, I don't know if they own a pavilion or what, but their area, which is quite big, because you can imagine it's Microsoft. And they're going to have us broadcast there, I believe, for 2 days. So we're going to be broadcasting live 2 days at CES, talking about things that we've found, doing random interviews, getting the scoop and the skinny from Microsoft insiders, as well as people who may be coming in and out of the booth. So if you're coming to CES, I would certainly appreciate it if you stopped by and said hello. Tell us what you found so that if we hadn't found that already, we could go talk about it. One of the things that I'm interested in when I go to CES is looking at some wireless home networking stuff. And there's a bit of it out there. And I mean, we're talking far, far beyond what was the X, not X1. X1 is the search. X10 wireless stuff. Far beyond that. And in fact, there's another standard called Zigbee. And we just got an invitation to sit down with a couple of folks from another wireless standard. They say they're going to be the leading wireless standard for home networking. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to see if we can squeeze some demo units out of them and wirelessly put this home together as if it needs anything more. One of the things I'm asking for, you know, for gifts of sorts for Christmas, this is something that you might think about putting on your wish list. It's a device, and you can pick it up, I think, on Amazon, ThinkGeek, anywhere online, really. It's a device that you plug into the wall, and then you plug something else into it, and it'll tell you how much energy it's using. Many people don't realize that just by having electronics plugged in the wall, you're sucking down energy. And you could save, you know, $100 or more just by unplugging devices you don't use all that often, unplugging systems when you're not using them, if you're not using them. Certainly, we've got some equipment here in the studio, and normally, you know, we don't need it on, so I'm now in the habit of taking it out, the plug from the outlet. But I'm curious to know how much energy it is sucking down. And so that's a device I didn't even know existed, and apparently it does. I've also got a tester. Then this is not a gift. It's more of a stocking stuffer. It's an outlet tester to see if it's grounded, if it's connected properly, if the lines, quote-unquote, the lines are crossed. It's a fantastic little device that I always carry with me if I'm going to a place I don't know and want to make sure that the outlets are grounded if I've got something that I think is very important plugged into it, with, you know, a three-pronger. Just because it's got three holes in the outlet doesn't necessarily mean that the outlet's grounded. So getting one of these little testers, line testers of sorts, is a good thing. And you can do the same. They've got a similar device. Not exactly the same, but a similar device for phone lines. So you could plug your little RJ45. God, speaking of getting my lines crossed, into the wall to see if it's an actual live phone connection on the other end. It's very, very helpful. So, yeah, that's quite a lot going on. Oh, and this week, too, gotta be update. Gotta be still rocking and rolling. We have now started to enter into Google again. They had banned us for a short time because they thought that the subdomain thing wasn't as hot. Now, you can still search subdomains at Gotta Be, but one of the things now that we have is a single feed URL. And where that gets interesting is when you're trying to come up with a search, but you can't remember exactly how to type in the URL. So, for instance, let's say you wanted to find out the search, do a Yahoo RSS search or search to subscribe to in Yahoo. You would type in gotta be/Yahoo/your keyword. So let's say your keyword was keyword or whatever. You should be able to, in theory, and I don't know if Yahoo is actually, let's try, what's another good one? Well, Dig. People love Dig. So if you just do gotta be/dig/your keyword, essentially what it spits back, this isn't on our side of things. It's actually on their side. We're just kind of mirroring it. But it's a shorter way, a shorter URL, an easier, cleaner URL for your search results. And that's something that it's called a single feed search, and we've got more information at Gotta Be. It's still kind of in beta. I've been noticing a few bugs, and I've been blasting them off to Shane throughout the week, and I've even stumbled upon some more tonight and had sent them off to him. And he's usually pretty quick. I usually send them off at night, and then wake up the next morning, and they're fixed pretty quick, pretty simple. Something else that you know has kind of floated upon my radar this past week. I'm in the process of writing it up tonight. I installed Diskkeeper, their version 10 from Executive Software. And you know, if you've got a defragger on your system, that's great. If you're using Executive Software, that's great. Most people don't. Most people go with just whatever comes with Windows, which, by the way, is based on like old versions of Disk Keeper. But they've just released 10.0. And in my opinion, 10.0 is far and away the best version I've ever seen come out from Executive. I mean, the interface has been overhauled. They've got this new feature, and like I said, I'm going to be diving into it tonight in the locker room, a new feature that optimizes the optimizations, if that makes any sense. It'll actually reorder files on your hard drive, not just defrag them, but reorder them to make accesses faster. And this is something that's new. It's a new technology that they've released with 10.0. And by the way, coincidentally, it's their 10th year anniversary, Executive Software. So they've been around about as long as Locker Room has, quite a while. So Disk Keeper version 10, I'll be outlining some of the features that I think are pretty outstanding tonight. They've got different versions of it, too, depending on what kind of user you are. I would definitely recommend more of a platinum version for power users because of this newer technology that re-optimizes the optimizations. I have no other way of explaining it without going into technicalities and diving into all that stuff. It does me no good to do all that. But to get everybody in the holiday spirit of sorts, I thought I'd start with, begin with some music that I think is, well, in my opinion, I love this music. It's from 8-Bit Peoples, and so getting you in the holiday spirit is what I'm attempting to do. And so take a listen. thank you for indulging me with the 8-Bit Peoples. I put the link in the chat room, and they will show up in the show notes. That song was the first Blip Blop Noel. So if you couldn't hear Noel in there, that's exactly what was in there. And it looks like MAB631, which is just the strangest handle I think I've ever heard. He's saying that Disk Keeper's got a 30-day full trial, and he's going to give it a test drive, and I would strongly recommend it. After just playing with Disk Keeper 10 this afternoon, I find that they've done quite a few improvements in the new code. It seems at least to be a new code. Looks a hell of a lot better than older versions. And I think I'll have to check if the 30-day trial, which apparently is a full trial, has got the new fast, and I'm using that in quotes because it's fast. Oh, hang on just a second. Jake's trying to explain to Alex that you can adjust the volume on that knob. Sorry, people clicking, booming, because his.
Oh.
Okay, so this is Alex.
Oh, hey.
So now you're on.
I'm on.
Yeah.
Well, this really.
I've got to do a formal introduction.
Okay.
Alex Williams.
Hey.
Now that's the formal introduction.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
So now you get to fill in the blanks.
What
you're doing what up here in Seattle right now?
I came up to visit some folks and check out some places. I'm going to do the podcast hotel again.
Places?
Yeah, I'm looking for places where I can do the event.
Oh, you're looking for
them. Yeah. Well, I actually think I have one pretty well set, the Triple Door. Have you ever been there?
Yes, I have.
It's a pretty cool place.
And I think I've had steak at the Triple Door.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If I'm thinking of the same place.
Did you listen to music there, too?
They had music going on, but unfortunately, we didn't want to hear it because we were talking to each other, so we told them to
pipe it down?
Yeah, like, it's okay.
Come on, it's all right.
Okay. No, it was like a small, like a jazz quartet of sorts that was on a stage. If it's the same place I'm thinking.
It's right downtown. It's near the Pike's Market.
Does it... Pike Place.
Pike Place.
Does it kind of go downstairs? Part of it go downstairs?
It's... I guess one of its big drawing points is the Musiquarium.
The what?
The Musiquarium. Did you see that when you were there?
No, did they have like people swimming around like with instruments or?
Not when I was there, but the fish were swimming around in the tank when I was there. They have a big aquarium.
Maybe I saw it, but just didn't notice it.
It's in the bar.
Yeah, okay. Then
it's
I have
the
been
bar.
To the Triple. Yes, I know where you're talking about.
Okay.
Good food. That steak is probably the best steak I've had up here in Seattle.
Really?
Yeah, it was really good because they got it fresh from the Midwest.
Well, that makes sense.
So you know, attracting people to the podcast hotel, you know, that's of course primary. But the fact that they've got good steak there is something to, you know, that's really something.
I'm going to put below it, and Chris recommends the steak.
Oh yeah. Oh, and of course they're going to like that too because it's probably like what $50.
Oh yeah.
For a good steak up here.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So you're doing another podcast hotel.
Yes, and we don't have a date yet set quite yet, but I'm scouting places out, and looks like the triple door, and it's going to have the same theme as it did in Portland, which was a very small event, but it was a lot of fun, and we're trying to carry it forward.
In Seattle. Were there a lot of Seattle people who had come to the Portland event?
Yeah, there actually were several people from Seattle who came.
More than from Portland? Which would kind of be sad.
No, there were more Portland folks there.
That's good.
There was two people from Brazil.
Brazil?
Yes, two Brazilians showed up.
Did they show up specifically for
They came for the podcast hotel in Portland.
That was their vacation for the year, is the podcast hotel.
Well, they were advertising guys and looking at the whole podcasting space and mobile phones and such. And they were here just to learn. They're from a big ad agency, maybe McCann Erickson. Mm-hmm. So
I'm not that familiar with Brazilian ad agencies at this point in my life, so I couldn't tell you. You could probably make something up, and I'd say, "Oh yes, oh sure, yeah, well, that's a good one, yeah, right there."
Well, I could tell you, but it'd have to be in Portuguese.
Sorry, I'm not exactly up to speed on. I've forgotten like 90% of my high school Spanish. They're similar, but not quite. What kind of things happened at the first podcast hotel?
Well, we're trying to design it as an unconference, and we did it in at the Doug Fir, which is a music club and lounge in Portland, and it's on the same grounds as the Jupiter Hotel. And so we had it downstairs in the club, and we tried to keep it very informal. And, you know, trying to really have people actually create podcasts. A lot of people really didn't know anything about blogs or RSS for that matter. So a lot of hands-on type of learning. And the event really we were trying to do was also help independent musicians learn about podcasting and how it can be used, because as we know very well, podcasting is a great distribution point for independent musicians. And so we had musicians there, and they were asking a lot of questions, and we showed how to make a podcast, on a PC, how to make it on a Mac. JD Lassica spoke on issues related to copyright and, his book Darknet. We had people discussing copyright issues and how they relate to musicians and independent artists. We had a discussion on Web 2.0, kind of the stuff to help people get their heads around what this was all about. And then on the second day, we had some live recordings of some local musicians, which we did at another club in Portland. And we did jam sessions, and we recorded them and then put them up on KSSX, which is, you well know, is Eric Rice.
Eric Rice, yes.
And so Eric was there, and the guys from Bright were there, Roland and Chris Krug. And they were just great. They really helped the event be something that people really loved and really kind of got a lot out of it. So that's kind of the whole vibe we want to bring to the next Seattle event, is to get people to come here and actually create podcasts. And we're going to try to have some fun with it, too, kind of make it like a little variety show.
Now, what about a bus with Muppets?
A bus with...
Every time I hear the words podcast hotel, I think
it's time
of the Happiness Hotel, from the Great Muppet Caper, with a bus full of... they do that. Around town, in Seattle, you could rent a bus, and they'll drive you, and they put alcohol on it and everything, and they'll drive you all around town.
Well, there you go.
It's the podcast hotel bus.
I wonder if the Muppets would have to show ID, do you think?
You know what? I think Kermit's older than my dad.
And Miss Piggy?
She stays young. She's 29 forever.
I don't want to get on the bad side of Miss Piggy.
She doesn't age, as much as you'd think pork would age, sitting around that
long. It doesn't age the same way.
It doesn't really, no. Yeah. I don't even want to know what Muppet pork tastes like.
So the Muppet bus. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I don't know. I always get this visual, the strange just... image in my head with just a whole bunch of podcasting Muppets on a bus driving around.
Are the Muppets podcasting yet?
I don't know.
They probably are. Who is not?
Who is not? Let's see here. It's hard to say who is not. I can tell you who's not doing it right, but that's beside the point. That's for another issue. Now
that's another issue.
You use the word unconference. And I was curious if you could define for me what you thought that means.
Well, you see my definition on Wikipedia? It's been hacked.
Oh, boy. Is Adam Curry at it again?
I mean, you know, he says he invented it.
Oh, boy.
It's not fair.
They should have a Currypedia.
Oh, my gosh.
Adampedia? I don't know.
Well, you know, you read a lot about people talking about unconferences and such, you know, and I think it's, you know, it's in some respects, it's a trying to take a different take on traditional conferences, which we've all been to ad nauseum, where the panel is up front and the people are in the audience, and essentially the panel's talking, and then the audience is just sitting there and really not doing much. My view on it, my personal view on it, is that it should, people are there really to learn and talk with each other. And so for me, it's providing a lot of time to do that. And so we're trying not to, like, you know, make a really tight, agenda, but try to loosen it up a little bit and actually get people to engage in it and, you know, and learn something. So they come away thinking, man, you know, I got something out of that, the conference. I think also it's the traditional conferences seem to be entirely corporate driven in many ways. But then there's the question, well, how the heck do you raise money for a conference if you're going to do it?
Yeah.
So well, I'm struggling with that.
Yeah, you know. Remember the conversation we had before the first podcast hotel.
Yeah.
I said, you have no idea what you're getting into.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. It's a caring laugh. It's not a mocking laugh.
It's not. I mean, it's really, it's where it gets most complicated. Mm-hmm. And you never can do it right. I think it comes down to then who you can get there to, you know, to participate. I mean, I was lucky that really interesting people showed up, like Roland Tanglow and Chris Krug and Eric Rice and, you know, and Brent Van Wieringen from Melodia, who came in and just soaked it up. And Melodia, he got so into it that Melodia is helping sponsor the next podcast hotel.
Up here in Seattle, mm-hmm. which is where they're based.
Yeah.
How would you define success for the podcast hotel? How would you quantify it?
Well, I'll be straight out. I was a money loser in September. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Took me 4 years to get profitable with Gnomedex.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy thing to do. You're always like, you never have enough. You know, you should have like, oh, I guess I'm gonna have to go into my bank account again. You know, but that's just the reality of it. I think if you quantify it, if everyone comes out of there and says, you know, that was the worst event I've ever been to in my life, you know, then you're like, well, quantifiably.
Not too hot.
It stunk.
Yes.
But if you come out of it, and I mean, first of all, personally, I came out of it, I learned a lot. I really started getting into digital photography for the first time by seeing what kind of photos some of the people there were taking. Great, great work they were putting up. And I think also it was satisfying for me to see people like, you know, independent musicians getting their heads around this kind of thing and thinking of the things that they could do about it. You know, that to me was, what made it exciting. Also for me, it was also, we used, are you familiar with the company Outthink?
No.
They have a peer-to-peer network. And we had a peer-to-peer network associated with the conference, which you can still see if you go to Podcast Hotel, and there's a link there where people could upload their own shows. So the whole idea was, okay, let's try to get people from other parts of the world to participate. And we had some folks upload some podcasts from Australia. Mm. And that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Now, you say you're looking for sponsors for the podcast hotel.
Yeah.
Do you got pricing for it yet, or are you waiting to see how much it's going to cost you to rent this triple door?
Triple door. We are looking for sponsors actively. You know, the pricing range is, we don't want to charge a ton for this.
But what, in your perspective, is a ton?
Well, I don't want to charge. I mean, I don't think I can get away with charging $30,000 to $40,000. You know, for a, you know, for a, for a, platinum level sponsor. But I would think that a sponsorship in the range of $15,000 to $20,000 is, you know, has value.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Now, are you broadcasting this live?
I'm not sure if I'm going to stream it live or not. That's another expense. If I can find a sponsor, you know, who would be interested in doing that, yes.
Helping offset those costs.
Yeah, helping offset those costs. You know, I like what you did at Lockernome, where you had, you know, you were able to get some other additional people there by streaming it, doing a simulcast type of thing at the Bell Harbor itself. There's that option, you know, at the triple door where we could do it into the lounge. But I would also like, I would love to make it available to as many people as possible, you know.
But you're recording the sessions.
Yeah.
Okay. So at least it's being documented in some way.
Yeah, they're being all being recorded.
So if you do it at the triple door, I don't remember it being all that big.
It's not that big. If the main ballroom area or a club area fits, about 250 people.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I haven't seen that part of it, because I've only seen that basement part where you go down and the bar and then apparently Fish, that I've always ignored because they've put the food right there. So I don't even see what's on the wall.
Well, maybe you weren't in the main club.
No, I'm telling you. You go down.
Oh, yeah. And then like crescent shaped booths and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that seats about 250 people.
Really?
Yeah. And then the other part.
250 skinny people. I better sit in my ab lounge for another 5 minutes today if I'm going to expect to get... Yeah, I got an ab lounge. Well, I got one again.
What's an ab lounge?
Have you not seen... Now they've got Christopher Knight, the Brady Peter guy, who I've actually met.
Oh, really?
In person, yes, when I was still at Tech TV. I was watching, as I was working out on my Gazelle, which is in the other room too, they had the commercial on. I'm like, wow, I've got that. It's the ab lounge. So it's essentially an easier way on your back and your neck to do crunches, jackknives and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so you basically sit in it like a lounge chair, and you put your hands in these little handles, and then you lift up. And essentially, you're working out your obliques and your abs and all these muscles here, and you could feel it. You do it, I guarantee it, do five, and you'll feel it right away.
I wonder what they call it. How do you spell L-O-U-N-G?
Yeah, lounge, as in a lounge chair.
Oh, and
a lounge singer.
Lounge chair.
Lounge lizard. Like lounge, as in the triple door lounge. Because that's very loungish.
Loungish.
And you can't smoke in there as of, when is it today?
December 8th?
Yesterday. Midnight, as in Seattle, or I should say the state of Washington, is now smokeless. You can't be within 30 feet.
Washington used to be a good state.
What do you mean used to be? Hey, you're the one bringing Podcast Hotel here. What are you talking about? Speaking of bringing people, we have Blake on the line. Blake?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem.
Anything on your mind?
Pardon?
Anything on your mind?
Yeah, I had a question about blogging.
Okay.
For a while, I was using Movable Type, and I was thinking about switching over to WordPress, and what's the pros and cons about those?
It's a good question. I can tell you I've been using Movable Type for years and years and years, and when people started talking about WordPress, which I believe evolved from another open source platform, B2?
Yeah, B2.
I want to say it was B2, and you'll have to pardon me. I'm not on Google right now searching for things.
Yeah, I think it was.
So people started talking about WordPress. I took a look at it, and no offense to the UI developer, but I just couldn't do it. I could not deal with the WordPress UI.
Really?
To me. Yeah, and I've even downloaded a new style sheet that makes it look a little more like OS X, a little, you know, slicker, but it just wasn't doing it for me. Now, that's just a surface level thing. I think WordPress is a smarter option if you are into extensibility and you appreciate being able to develop on your own. There are a wealth of WordPress plugins out there. Now, compare that to Movable Type. Like I said, I've been using Movable Type since probably before 1.0, like way, 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 way back when.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been something that, for me, I've appreciated the power of it. I understand it because I've been in it so long, so deep. But one of the shortcomings, or you could say shortcomings, of Movable Type is that the development cycle is relatively slow. Six Apart is, you know, an increasingly bigger company. They've got a lot to offer. Movable Type, while it can be extended with plugins, is still limited by the fact that it's not open source. And so you have to deal with licensing, and some people may run into issues. If you're thinking about doing it just for a single blog, is that the case?
Yeah.
Okay. If it's just for a single thing, I'd say WordPress.
Okay.
Seriously. I'm a UI fanatic. I'm the worst person to talk about when it comes to UIs because I'm very, very fickle. That's the one thing that kept me from using WordPress outright. But if you're talking about a single blog, I think WordPress is going to be, you know, more than sufficient for what you're trying to do. Hang on, Blake. Alex, do you have an opinion?
You know what? I've used WordPress. You know what I like about it is the one thing I like is the preview pane. But I had a question. Do you use an editing tool with Six Apart? With Movable Type?
No, I usually just do it inline. And there is a plugin for Movable Type that can allow you to do the same thing. So you're going to find, Blake, that most of the plugins that extend WordPress are probably available for Movable Type as well.
But why do you like Movable Type for multiple blogs?
Management is a lot easier. You know, when I started talking with Matt Mullenweg at this past GnomeDex, and I asked him, I said, well, here's LockerGnome, and here's the thing that keeps me from using WordPress. WordPress really wasn't designed to manage multiple blogs. And even to a certain degree, Movable Type wasn't set up that way. It's still not easy to do in Movable Type. So I'm even taking it to the level with LockerGnome as I'm looking at Drupal and moving that direction because it's more community-oriented, a lot more cross-cultural things. When I say cross-cultural, I mean being able to do more than just a static page. So you've got your forum people interacting with your chat people interacting with your blog people interacting with all these sorts of users. The differences on the surface are pretty negligible when it just comes to the core concept of just blogging. And I think WordPress gets you up and running quicker than anything.
Yeah, the Bright folks really opened my eyes
to Drupal.
To Drupal.
I'm still not convinced. Drupal is still, to me, a little unwieldy compared to something like WordPress or Movable Type. I think Movable Type is easier to use, but I think WordPress is more powerful and a little faster. I should say a lot faster, actually. So, Blake, there you go. There's a long-winded answer to your quick question.
Okay.
And you are officially entered for the giveaway of the PSP.
Awesome.
Officially, because you called in. You participated.
I did.
Thank you so much, Blake. Appreciate
Thanks.
It. I don't know if you knew that, Alex. Every week now we're giving something away.
That's terrific.
And, like, something substantial. Like, last week we gave away Xbox Live subscriptions. This week it's a PSP when Xbox 360s come in. And we're doing this every week.
That's great.
We do... Anyway, PSP is $250. We're just basically handing it over to these people. All you have to do to enter to be...
Is call in
and participate. That's it. So Blake had a simple question, and now he's going to be entered into the way that Ponzi picks it. I haven't asked. It's a separation here, you know, this wall.
Yeah, you have to do that.
Now, it's a quarter Chinese wall, because she's only a quarter Chinese.
Oh, well,
between
then,
us.
Then,
you know. And so I can't...
It's different than half.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, hey! Oh, my God. Yes. Sorry. Andy.
Yes, sir.
You're on.
All right, man.
How are you? Thanks for hanging in there.
Hey, no problem. Man. The guy from Canada really has a good idea, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's nutty. Of all the things that you could get on CNN for, I think that's probably one of the best things.
Sure.
You know, not a political scandal or, you know, something strange like that.
I have a little trouble hearing you.
Oh, Jake, he's a volume. I don't know if it's me. I can try just putting the microphone in my mouth.
Okay.
Would that help, Andy?
Me.
All right. Now, Andy, you run a web resource, and actually, I guess it's a newsletter, more appropriately. Gamer Circle?
Yeah.
Where did you come up with that idea?
Well, you know, short little story is probably for the last 10 years, two times a year, I host a little LAN party with all my friends, and we don't really sit around in a circle, but it's like my circle of friends. And so, you know, what do? We play a lot of games, whether it's, you know, tabletop or games, so Gamer Circle is how I came up with that idea.
All right, and every day you send out a newsletter.
Yeah, I try to do it every day. You know, I got a real-life job, so I just can't, you know, it's 9 to 5 or, you know, 9 to 9, whatever happens in the day in the industry. So I try to get some content out there and send it out to people that, you know, there's actually people that don't like to surf the internet. They don't know what RSS is. So when they get a newsletter, if it's, you know, consistent in content and not just, you know, biased to any one subject, they tend to actually welcome it. And I know that people sign up for it because I get notices, but then I also know that people aren't deleting it because, or it's not just going into their spam bucket either, because I get indications of people actually reading it. So that's a good thing.
Okay, so you've called in. Do you have a question, comments, more remark?
Well, you know, I have a whole line of things here. First of all, Chris, I'm very, very disappointed in your Xbox 360 Live score.
Hey, I haven't had a chance to touch it yet. It's not my fault. I mean, I played a little bit, but I'm working.
You know, I went out there expecting to be blown away, and anyone that has a website with the title Gamers in it has got to be blown away by can't be blown away, but I have blown Chris Perillo, the Locker Gnome, away.
I think I've got a gamer score of, like, 2 now.
Well, it's 2 digits.
It's 2 digits?
It's 25 or 75 or something like that.
I just haven't. I haven't had a lot of time to play yet. I really. I
understand. I just thought I would say that because, you know, in the chat room, I was kind of saying, hey, you know, Chris got a 360, cool, and what's his score? And no one replied. I went there, and I just bowed my head in shame. I almost had to reach for a
in shame.
Stock.
Hey, at least I've got an Xbox 360 through which I can get a score.
I'm impressed.
I'm very lucky.
Have you had any problems with yours?
No, not really. But then again, I'm not, you know, running it through the ringer. You know,
I am. I leave mine on, you know, hours and hours. And the one thing I don't do is tilt it on its side because, you know, I don't think any machine yet is made to have any sort of disc spinning at 7,200 RPM. And it's not going to get scratched or shoot out of there and chop off a limb or something.
Yeah.
So it's a great design, but I don't believe putting servers on the side or anything like that where you have to put a disc in sideways instead of laying down flat.
I couldn't do it. I mean, I've got it there, and I turn it off when I'm not using it. There's no need to keep it on at this point in time.
Very true. But, you know, I'm having, Chris, the problem I'm having is trying to keep up with the Joneses. Let me explain my little dilemma here is I went out and bought myself an H2, okay? A fairly impressive vehicle. So what happens? The 360 comes out. Some guy paints his H2 with the 360 logo. I can't keep up.
That's a problem?
Well, it's not a problem. It's a dilemma for me. I can't keep up.
Well, everybody has that issue. Do you have anybody else in your inner circle who's competitive with that?
No, I have to say that I am the most competitive person because I actually got today in the mail was my NVIDIA GeForce 7800 GTX video card.
Wow.
And
they're just handing them out now?
No, they're extremely hard to get. I was very fortunate that the company, because I got lazy over the last couple of years, I went to Falcon Northwest to have my last gaming rig machine, you know, a Pentium 4, 3.4, 2 gigs of RAM, and at that time it was a NVIDIA GeForce, God, I can't remember, 6800 Ultra. And, you know, I'm surfing the internet trying to, you know, I'm using Price Grabber and Price Watch, and I can't find anyone that's got a card in stock, and then I called up Falcon Northwest. I go, you know, I'm a prior customer of yours, and can you guys sell me an upgrade? They go, yeah, sure. So they did.
Was it cheap?
No, sir. No.
Not cheap.
At all. It would, in fact, I think many people could eat for 2 weeks off of what I had to spend on this card. So.
Wow.
Close to $1,000.
Holy cow, for a video card.
$8 short of $1,000.
You're kidding me. What does this thing? Wait. What does this thing do? That makes it worth $1,000.
Well, it did get me dressed in the morning.
Well, that's okay. Now that's good.
No, I'm kidding. It is 40% faster, proven by benchmarks, than the 68 Ultra, which of course is one of theirs. I did put a link on my website, on my personal blog, andy.gamercircle.net, that has a very fair, unbiased comparison to ATI's newest and this card. And I don't want to say hands down it beat it, but, you know, if price is the way, you got to go with ATI. And I have nothing against ATI. I have been a strong evangelist of ATI up until 2 years ago when I could not get the latest ATI card, but I could get the latest NVIDIA card. It was, you know, in my opinion, market share is what's going to get the consumers in, which is I am one of. And if I can get the latest and greatest without having to stand in line for 3 hours in the freezing cold to get an Xbox 360, I'll do it. You know, even if cost is high, I'll do it. But I want to get the best. And the link from from, I think it's called Gamer PC, had a very good, easy to read. You didn't have to be a geek or anything to understand what they're talking about. And Game PC, and I read that and read some other reviews, and they're all in the line. So NVIDIA this year, in my opinion, is the way to go when it goes to video cards.
See, now,
even the low end.
I would disagree. I went from NVIDIA to ATI very cautiously a year or so ago, and I've been very happy with the Switch.
I actually have more ATI cards in my home than I do NVIDIA because I just recently swapped, only because when it came to getting trying to get the latest, ATI could not produce enough of their first PCI Express card, so that's why I went with the 6800 Pro. And it was actually faster than ATI's latest. They had more pipelines. Their GPU speeds are faster, but benchmark wise, it doesn't seem to matter because it's not as fast.
Oh, and that's very important.
It is. And since I'm a gamer, you know, I like to have max resolution, full textures, everything. I don't want to be bogged down for anything. So
as a gamer,
that's me.
As a gamer, what do you think of the Xbox 360?
I think whenever the next Xbox console comes out, they're going to do it right.
The next
one? That didn't answer your question. I know. Now, their first Xbox, Microsoft's first dip into the console world, was a good step.
Yeah.
It was a very good baby first step.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they fell down sometimes. They hurt their tush a couple times. They learned. With the 360, I think moving away from an Intel architecture, moving away from a PC based kind of thing, that was probably the one of the most brilliant things they did. Because no one wants to buy a console when they can build a PC that does the same thing.
As
using the branding that they have with I want to say Samsung, but that's wrong, but the new architecture that they have right now is scalable, without a doubt. High definition. Now, that's the way to go with anything. So if someone comes out with a console or even a PC video card and it doesn't support DVI or high definition, they're just bound for failure right there.
Yeah, I agree.
It still has problems. The frickin' power supply weighs more than my dirty laundry.
It's not that bad.
It
You think it's that bad?
It is. It is. Displacement-wise, when the power supply, if you drop it in water, can displace more water than the GameCube, that's embarrassing.
Wow.
And the GameCube is still, it's a fine console machine, but I think Microsoft is going to do it no problem next time.
Now, wait a minute. Are you saying that you've actually put your power supply in water to displace it just to prove this theory?
No, Chris. I wouldn't do that.
Well, I got to ask these things. You know?
There's some nutty people. If you go to, I think it's called TeamXbox.com, they have people doing crazy things with it. I mean, there's a guy that bought an Xbox 360 at a Best Buy.
Did he trade it for a snowmobile?
Door, opened up his car and beat it with a sledgehammer.
Why?
Just so he could, so he could make the headline.
Okay, but you're complaining about the power supply, but we're talking three processors.
Oh,
not three crappy processors, three really fast processors.
I'm not complaining about the unit. I think it's a great unit having, there's a website out there that's having a contest for faceplates. I think that is great.
Wait. You're excited about a 2 cent piece of plastic?
Absolutely.
And concerned about the power supply to power three processors.
No. So don't get me wrong. I think the unit itself is great. And I do agree that if you separate the power supply from the unit, you can get a lot more creative. Because if you got a console machine that has a power supply in it that's two-thirds or three-quarters the unit, I mean, what does that got to say about its design?
So that power supply isn't even a fourth the size of the rest of the unit.
It's half.
No. Not
stacked
mine.
On top of your 360.
Maybe
take
I've.
A look.
Do you really have a 360? You sure you didn't get like the Z-Box 360? Yeah.
No.
Well, you're really going to like next week's show because Major Nelson's coming back in and he's bringing all 18 Xbox 360 games with him.
Oh, sweet.
So I'm going to have a few friends over here and some beer and we're going to play Xbox 360. All 18 games.
At the same time.
I wish I wouldn't have left the Seattle area, so maybe I could have gotten an invite and brought mine over.
See, what I'm... Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to log in as myself, and then I'm going to say, okay, who can play this game really well, and then hand them the controller, and then they can get me some gamer points, so I can get more street cred.
So that means you're never handing me the controller.
Right. Yeah, you should see Jake play Geometry Wars, man. That stuff's comedy.
I suck.
I'm going to give that a try this weekend, to be honest with you.
Geometry Wars?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's killer.
That'll blow your entire weekend.
It's killer. I think it's absolutely killer.
So I did call because I do have a legitimate question. I just didn't want to do a round robin and don't get me wrong, I'm not spanking the Xbox 360. I would not have gotten the ultimate bundle from EB Games if I didn't think it was the best console out there to own.
And I remember reading that in your newsletter and what you were taking back and what you were keeping.
Yeah. So I think I kept what the best is because, you know, I can't play tennis. And I don't know what amped means, except for when I have too much Mountain Dew.
You lost a little bit of legitimacy in my eyes when you decided to return, I think it was Ridge Racer.
What game?
Ridge Racer.
Oh, well, okay, so I kept Need for Speed, a racing game. I also kept Project Gotham. So I can't have three racing games.
Dude, I'm still trying to figure out the controls for Project Gotham. I cannot maneuver those cars half as well as I can in Ridge Racer. Ridge Racer, you don't have to think about it.
Hey, you know you can change the buttons.
Yeah, I know you can change the buttons. I'm not talking about the layout and the controls.
Well, I would think any game stock, if you can't control it, it's going to be a problem. If you have to change it to accommodate your skill, it's not going to be a good game.
The only reason I suggest changing the buttons is because he's so used to... the Ridge Racer control structure that if you switch it to match that, it might be easier.
No, not really. It's basically the same kind. Although I am hitting another trigger accidentally. It's keeping control of the car. It's not the control itself. It's not fishtailing. It's not 360.
That's because it's a lot more realistic.
Okay, that's my problem.
It's a lot more like driving a real car.
That's my problem.
I agree because when I play Need for Speed, I go hell of a lot more fast than I do in Project Gotham. And I have more controllability. Obviously, the physics is a lot different. And I tend to have a little bit more fun in Need for Speed than I do in Gotham. But I like the surroundings, and also the graphics seem a little bit better than Need for Speed.
Well, I know that next week is just going to be probably one of the best Chris Perla shows we're ever going to have. Not just the live aspect of it, but the 18 games. And then Pete Grondahl, who's also with Microsoft, is coming over, and he's going to film the whole thing. So it's going to be one hell of a party. And
well, I'm going to have to miss it because I'm going to be at a toy show.
A toy show?
Yeah. Well, that's what Gamer Circle also has a store. I have a legitimate business. I sell comic books and action figures.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I
didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know,
store.gamercircle.net, and I have comic books, action figures, more stuff showing up every day.
You know, I collect Darth Vader figures and memorabilia.
You know what? I have in my hands here for you, Chris Perla. Is a Star Wars Revenge of the Sith Darth Vader action figure.
Oh, yeah? Well, thank you.
And I just got yelled at my girlfriend because she was buying that for me for my... because we call my Hummer Darth. That's the name. Because it's black. It's got the chrome thing up front, so it looks like Darth Vader's mask.
Well, see, now, in exchange, you get... Not only did you get promotion here on the show, and I think we're going to be taking the live calls and splicing them together after a little bit of editing. You also are now in the process... through which you may get a PSP.
You're in the running.
In the running, yes.
Well, cool. That I'll have one for each hand, then.
Wow. I don't think... is that even possible?
Is that legal?
I can barely do it with two hands.
I'm not sure that's legal.
If I do it, I'll take a picture and show it. But here, let me get to my legitimate question.
Yeah. Oh, we have the question. Sure.
I took my forms down because I was getting tired of trying to pick and choose which Viagra I wanted to buy.
Your forums... We're getting spammed?
Yeah.
Did you have a registration requirement?
Yeah, I was running a stock PHP BB.
Oh, well, there's your problem.
Well, and that's what I thought. Now, I liked it because, now, you know, we go back to the guy talking about, you know, when you're talking about WordPress or B2 or what for the software to blog with. And for me, being a newbie as I am, if it's easy to set up, I'm going to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may be a GUI fanatic, but if it's easy and usable... Now, I use WordPress because it's easy to set up. I hardly ever use the editor, so I never see the interface. I use WBlogger for my editor because it does all the HTML for me.
Yeah, I recommend that.
So I'm looking for... Now, are you using vBulletin
No, we used to use vBulletin. Looked at PHPBB, very, very powerful, but it was also the most hacked bulletin board out there.
I never had a hack problem. I just had a lot of people from Russia trying to sell me Rolexes and Viagra.
Yeah. I've had certain issues with my forums in the past, and largely until just recently, we had, I guess, a communication breakdown between ourselves and our web host, WebAir, and now the problem was fixed. Apparently what had happened was they had moved the forums onto a machine that only had 512 megabytes of RAM, and they put both the database and the actual application on the same machine. Well, now it's everything is as it should be, and it's running much more efficiently.
Oh,
so
good.
Was your question in choosing a forum or how to stop it?
You know, getting a little wiser, I might actually change my main content side because it's actually running B2, and since B2 really isn't being developed anymore, and maybe trying to upgrade it to WordPress, I think that might be something I don't want to try to tackle. I'm trying to think maybe doing a twofer, trying to have a forum software that I can also use as the content side, so each time I do an entry into the forum, it will
Drupal.
Also be...
Drupal.
What was that?
Drupal. D-R-U-P-A-L.
Okay.
If not Drupal, there are people who've customized that. In fact, this is kind of how I've done it, you can do it. I actually kind of upset some of the forum readers, or many of them, by doing it this way. What you could do is, with InVision, if you decide to go that route, they have a new feature that automatically parses RSS feeds. So when you post something to your blog, you can make it an automatic entry through parsing that RSS feed in the forum.
Right, and RSS, of course, would be another big plus for me.
Yeah. InVision, I think, can handle it perfectly well. And I, for the most part, as far as all the forum software I've ever used, it's always been recommended to me to go InVision's route, and I would have to agree. And if not InVision, if you're looking for something that's going to enable the community further without too many headaches, I don't know how well it goes for customization, but Drupal is another alternative.
Is that a PHP-based?
Yeah, full PHP, open source. A handful of developers out there. In fact, Lord Cat in the chat room understands Drupal pretty well.
I'm trying to get Lord Cat to go out there and just be impressed with my video card, and I told him I'd help him with the licensing problem he has with Windows 2003.
Well, there you go. All you need is a red paperclip, and you're set.
Well, Chris, hey, I don't want to eat up all your time tonight. I appreciate you guys give me your insights, and, hey, you know, pop into the chat room and say hello to those guys. I think they're lonely.
No, I see them, and I've got the chat, and I log in, and I'm on the server all the time, but I feel bad, and I kind of get admonished when I hop into a chat room and then never say anything.
Oh.
In fact, it's kind of a joke. People know it's me because I don't say anything in a chat room.
Strong and silent type.
I get in trouble when I do that. But I use Trillian, so it automatically logs me into the server. It's just that I've chosen now not to automatically join the room because it would probably annoy people rather than make them feel good.
Well, since I'm on my new gaming rig here, I actually don't have... On my gaming rig, I install no applications.
Smart.
I do a remote desktop to my other PC, and so through my gaming machine, I'm actually doing your chat room that's on your website.
Yeah. We're using WildRide, They did fantastic for years. Consider using
but
no,
you,
no one
you
else.
You have an outstanding chat room. They're great support structure. They are a bunch of great guys.
I agree.
And gals.
I agree.
You two gentlemen, I appreciate your time, and thanks for the plugs. And
no problem.
I have to go downstairs and talk to my girlfriend and make sure it's okay. I give you my Darth Vader action figure.
All right. Thanks again, Andy.
Guys, see you later.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
So we've got Lee and Sachi are here, and they were out eating earlier. And were you drinking?
Not yet.
I've got actually, if you want, I've got beer in the fridge. I've got some like holiday beer. Yeah, so I don't know what that means, but it was the Mike from what are you laughing at? Mike from Hacking Netflix was here last week, and he brought beer with him, and so I've got one pumpkin beer left, some mango frou-frou drink, and holiday beer, which has got one hell of a bite. Let me tell you, I don't know what the hell's in it, but it's holiday beer. What's that? He never told me what beer he was drinking.
Canadian beer.
It was just Canadian beer. So before I pause to take a breather, I want to take another call, if we can. And speaking of forums, Deb,
mm-hmm.
you're now on with us.
Hi. How are you?
Doing well. Could you ask for a better segue, though? You know, talking about forums and Andy, and then all of a sudden you're on the line, and, you know, now you're here with us on the air. You're
Whatever works.
This works. You're one of the forum, I guess, moderators, administrators in Lockernum's Problem Solvers, which is the name of our forums. And server should be so much happier today.
So far, so good.
Did you hear what had happened?
Yes.
Yeah. I
knew it had to be something like that.
Yeah. It took me a while to get them to that point of understanding that things were not happy, and now they have, and hopefully, knock on wood, we should be safe for a little while longer. at least I hope. It just shows you all the difference, like 512 megabytes to 2 gigabytes of RAM can make in performance. Massive, massive.
It should make the troops happy.
Yeah, I'd hope.
The speed will increase.
So how cold is it in Iowa today?
-9.
-9.
And we probably an hour ago, we crossed over the 1 foot of snow mark.
Oh.
It's still coming down.
So you're not just dreaming of a white Christmas, you're living in it.
We're going to be digging out of one.
Dear God.
And we're supposed to move next week.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Just another place here in town.
Oh.
We built a new house, and
wow,
they're trying desperately to get us in before Christmas.
So you built this new house. Now, I know you're technically minded, so you got networking cables going everywhere in the walls?
Of course.
Now, okay.
I took them to spool.
Here's the question. Did you use Cat 5, Cat 5E, or Cat 6?
I used Cat 5E because that was the spool I had left.
Fair enough. Cat 5E can handle gigabit Ethernet. It's the quality of the cable.
Most of it is just going to be Wi-Fi anyway.
Mm.
But I needed one hardwire because my workshop will actually be in the basement, and my connection will be upstairs. And so I basically had them run because the walls were not in yet. It was easier for them to run the cables now than it would be for me to do it later. So I thought of every room that could possibly have the hardwire in it and ran a cable from there down to my workshop.
Good luck. I know moves can be terribly painful, and I can only imagine moving in a foot of snow in negative degree weather.
I'm paying someone else to do it.
Oh!
Professional movers, the only way to go.
Oh, I'd say.
I'm telling you.
So what's on your mind, Deb?
Well, it kind of goes back to what you guys were talking about before on the gaming machine.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a gamer at all.
Yep. Neither am I. Deb? Deb. Debbie. Deb. Deb. No, I think her connection somehow got disconnected somehow. She's still on the air. So it's not that big a deal. Okay, Deb, if you hear us, if you hear me, we'll have to continue your question here in a little while. I'm going to put you on hold, and feel free to call us back in probably another, give me about 10 minutes or so. And until then, I've got to take a little breather here. We've still got about an hour and a half left for the show, and we'll be still speaking with Lee and Saatchi, who are here, and now they're drinking my holiday beer in the other room. Yeah, great. Here's another 8-Bit People song.
So apparently Chris doesn't realize we have a show going on.
So the girls are going to hijack it.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing here.
Because Chris is out here playing Xbox. I don't know whether is he playing Ridge Racer or is he playing Geometry Wars?
I think it's the geometry thing. I don't know. It's the $5 game. He loves it the best.
He spent $400 on a console to play a $5 game.
Hey, I'm all for the $5 games, though. Let's not knock it. I'm happy
but still,
with that.
You could play a $5 game on your PC.
I know, and he has so many other things like that.
But no, Geometry Wars.
That. Is it really all that?
Geometry Wars is cool.
Is it better than Lumens?
Yes.
Oh.
I think so.
See, I haven't taken the time to look at it.
It's hard, and I suck at Geometry Wars, but I still like it. So, we have a caller, so let's take the call, and we'll just see.
But I can't answer tech questions.
That's okay.
What are we going to do?
I'll back you up if you need backup on the tech questions.
All right, let's do that.
So we've got Aaron on the air.
Hey, hi, Aaron.
I know this is actually Jake because Chris is busy playing Ridge Racer in the other room.
I cannot hear you. I'm sorry.
Can you hear me, Aaron? No.
You can't hear. You can't hear me at all.
Hello.
I can barely hear you.
All right. So Chris is in the other room playing Geometry Wars.
Can you hear us better now?
That's better.
Hi, Aaron. This is Ponzi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
So ask me a non-tech question till Chris gets back.
A non-tech question? Okay.
Am I allowed to do that?
Can I
reverse the tables here? Tell you
right.
how to ask
I'll
me
ask
a question.
I'll ask you a non-tech question.
Okay. Go for it.
Did you and Chris make up after your adventure in Hawaii?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, we did. You know, that kind of backfired on me. I had, like, a moment of crazy emotion and decided to blog it for some ungodly reason.
Yeah.
And people kind of got mean. And I wasn't expecting that. Chris kind of called that, though. He's like, babe, maybe you shouldn't have done that. And I was like, you know, at the moment.
Yeah. Hey, it's supposed to be reality. Come on.
It is reality.
Yeah, it was.
And then
you're regretting it now, though, for doing that, huh?
Part of me regrets it and part of me doesn't, because that is me and that is real life, you know? And it's kind of like, this is my blog and I'm going to say what I want. But then another part of me is like, well, I didn't like what they said about Chris. You know, it's one thing to talk crap about me, but it hurts more when you read it about the one you love.
Yeah,
you know?
It all seemed to fall on, I think that was my opinion, too, that it really kind of... fell on Chris there.
Yeah, and it totally,
who was to blame? Because, come on, a vacation in Hawaii, you need to put your best foot forward, don't you think?
Yeah. I do think. But, you know, at the end, we had a really good time. I think Chris is just so focused, and he's an entrepreneur, you know, and it's hard to break away when you're the backbone of your business.
Right.
And so, in the beginning, it was really hard for him to kind of relax and chill for a little bit.
Exactly.
But at the end, he had a great time. Have you seen his hair? He dyed his hair red.
What's that?
I said by the end, he had a really great time. He actually dyed his hair red on the last day.
I had a feeling that kind of, you know, got him turned around a little bit, your little, you know, your blog entry.
Yeah, it did. We talked it out, and it was actually good in the end, so.
Yeah.
So do you have a tech question that you want to answer?
Well, yeah, I actually had a strange power supply issue. I believe it's a power supply issue today with my... I've got an NVIDIA 3 chipset and an ATI 9800 Pro All-in-Wonder and an Antec 430-watt True Power supply.
Babe.
And did I lose you yet?
No, you haven't lost me yet.
Okay. So the machine today, it's a very reliable machine, but today it hung. And when I went to restart it, I got the multiple beeps and the BIOS message on the screen that says, you know, you haven't plugged in power into the video card. So please do that. Of course, power was plugged in there, but apparently it wasn't getting enough. So I took off the cover and unplugged two fans, and that's when I was able to start it again. I couldn't start it at all until it did that. And I did notice some dust had collected in the fans and was probably now drawing more current. But I'm just wondering, is that typical that you need with a machine you need more than 430 watts of power supply?
Well, did I hear you right that you have two pretty high-end video cards running
in
there?
No, just one.
Oh, just one. So the ATI is a video card, but it's an NVIDIA chipset motherboard.
NVIDIA motherboard, right.
Okay. I was a little confused because I thought maybe you had an NVIDIA and an ATI graphics card in there at the same time.
No, it's an NVIDIA 3 chipset, you know, an AGP motherboard.
Well, I mean, it's quite possible that just cleaning the fans may make all the difference that you need. Or it could be, I mean, because this could be a lot of things. It could be that the power supply that you have is starting to go bad. It could be that the video card is starting to go bad, depending on how old it is. It could be a combination of a lot of those things all leading up to the fact that that you're running into power troubles.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, I would start by cleaning the fans
and then
plugging them back in.
Yeah, right. I cleaned the fans. I didn't plug them back in. But because I figured I'm drawing too much power, I have two 300 gig hard drives and two CD drives, or one DVD and one CD drive, and that's really it.
See, you could be. I mean, but that's pulling quite a bit of power there. Cause, I mean, you're talking about you got two drives, and depending on how high the RPM of the drives happens to be,
yeah,
that's gonna pull more power. And you've got two CD drives, and depending on the RPM of the CD drives and how frequently, say, that you game, so that you're actually spinning the drive, that's going to use a little bit of power.
Yeah, well, this was a startup issue. I mean, this is right at, you know.
Okay.
Right at startup.
But, I mean, in all likelihood, I would say the first thing to do, since you did clean the dust off, try, now that you've cleaned the dust off, plugging the fans back in and see if that made a difference, because the fans can have an issue. And so I would start there. And then if you still have an issue after you plug them back in, it's quite possible that either the video card is going bad or the power supply is going bad, one of the two. And I mean, the thing to do is if you have a backup computer, try the video card in another computer and see if it has problems in the other computer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, it's all working fine now.
Did you just prescribe spring cleaning for his computer?
In effect, yeah.
Okay. Just wondering. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. Well, thanks for that info.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Live streaming of The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media and Limelight Networks. Download Windows Media Player 10 to listen to The Chris Perillo Show live every Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific, GMT-8.